Roll Rice.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now open in session pursuant to adjournment. Master Commissioner Robert Mayer presiding.
Please be seated. There's one case to be heard this morning. It's number 2010-562, The Chapel versus the Tax Commissioner. Mr. Leiby, please present your argument.
Thank you. May it please the court. The Chapel has sought exemption from taxation under 5709.12b. That section provides in pertinent part, quote, real and tangible personal property belonging to institutions that is used exclusively for charitable purposes shall be exempt. Consequently, there are two inquiries to be made under that section. The first is whether the chapel is an institution. The second is whether it uses the property exclusively for charitable purposes. In Highland Park Owners Inc. versus Tracy, the court adopted the definition of Black's Law Dictionary of an institution and specifically said an institution is an establishment, especially one of eleemosynary or public character or one affecting a community, an established or organized society or corporation. It may be private in its character, designed for profit to those composing the organization, or public and charitable in its purposes, or educational. The chapel undoubtedly fits that definition as an and is an institution. It thus meets the first prong of the requirement to meet under 5709.12b. The chapel's use of the property at issue also fits precisely within the definition of charitable uses. The property is used exclusively for recreational uses, which the court has specifically stated is a charitable use. The chapel's use of its property for charitable purposes is found in the broad and freely open availability of the property for the public use. Apley, before the Board of Tax Appeals, did not dispute, in fact, he conceded that the chapel's property is used for charitable purposes. Specifically, the commissioner acknowledged that, open quote, the acreage at issue is open to and used by the public for recreational areas, close quote. Such use is unquestionably for charitable purposes.
And would the authority for that, would that be Highland Park Owners as well, or are there other cases?
No, the authority for that is found in, the authority for the recreational use?
The recreational use being?
That's found in Highland Park Owners, Inc. versus Tracy.
Okay.
Since the chapel is an institution, and since the property is used exclusively for charitable purposes, it is entitled to exemption under 5709.12b. The language of the statute is compulsory. Real and tangible personal property belonging to institutions that is used exclusively for charitable purposes shall be exempt from taxation. The property belongs to an institution, the chapel. It is used exclusively for charitable purposes. Therefore, it shall be exempt from taxation.
Is there a question in this case about the timing in terms of the filing of the application and then the development of the use of the property, maybe at a later date or not?
Appley did raise that issue, but in our reply brief, we set out that the court has said where property is held for a specific purpose, it is deemed to be used for that purpose. In other words, if property is set aside for a specific purpose and then is later used for that purpose, it is deemed exempt from the date it is set aside for that purpose. And there are numerous cases on that, which I believe we cite in our reply brief. As the court stated in Toledo Business and Professional Women's Retirement Living versus Board of Tax Appeals, a case cited by the appellee, the General Assembly has exclusive power to choose the subjects and to establish the criteria for exemption from taxation. After the General Assembly has marked a specific use of property for exemption and has established the criteria, therefore, the function of the judicial branch is limited to interpreting and applying those criteria. The chapel's property at issue precisely fits the criteria established by the General Assembly. The criteria having thus been met, the property shall be exempt from taxation. I would like to reserve the balance of my time for rebuttal.
I'd like, before you sit down, the Board of Tax Appeals decision, in reading that over, what is your understanding of why the Board of Tax Appeals denied the exemption?
My understanding is that the exemption was denied because the property is owned by a church.
Okay.
Appellee argues otherwise before this court, but that is my understanding of the decision of the Board of Tax Appeals.
So you read that decision as saying that regardless of what the actual use of the particular land at issue is, it makes a difference whether it's owned by a church or owned by a non-religious institution.
That is my understanding, and that's precisely what the appellee argued before the Board of Tax Appeals, that a church is not entitled to an exemption under 5709.12b. And that's what appellee argues in its merit brief, that the appellant is not entitled to exemption because it is a church, that a church is confined to the criteria of 5709.0782, which provides for exemption for churches, for institutions used for public worship.
How would you characterize, and this is the point, I guess, of my question and a little bit of confusion about the BTA decision, how would you characterize the primary use of the specific property that's at issue here?
The primary use of the property is for public recreational purposes. I can divide the use into two categories, but they're certainly not half and half. One category of the use is solely by the public. The City of Green Parks and Recreation Department, the Federal Express, the YMCA, charitable organizations that trains dogs, casual use by the public. If they're not used for scheduled events, the property can be used by anyone coming onto the property. They're not prohibited in any fashion or inhibited in any fashion from coming onto the property to use it for recreational purposes. The other category is activities organized by the chapel. The activities organized by the chapel are all aimed at the public. Of all the leagues that they have organized, there is only, in a league with 10 teams, only one team is composed of members of the chapel. So the entire thrust of the use of the property specifically by the chapel in its organized leagues is aimed at the public and is almost predominantly, if not overwhelmingly, composed of members of the public.
Does the evidence show with respect to the activities that are organized by the church that there's any religious component to those activities, or are they purely recreational?
There is, in the leagues organized and run by the chapel, they do have what they call a devotional. But as the witness for the chapel stated, who's familiar with that, He said it deals with character and behavioral issues. There's no mention of any sectarian purpose in those devotionals. Now, they do have activities for children while the parents are engaged, at least in one instance. There is an activity for children. They do a Bible study. But that is so de minimis that it simply does not change the character of the use of the property.
Thank you, Mr. Leiby.
Thank you.
Mr. O'Rourke.
Thank you, Your Honor. I think this case is a matter of a taxpayer trying to do indirectly what they themselves concede they cannot do directly. Under 5709.07, the House of Public Worship exemption, the court has explained in cases such as Moraine Heights, Faith Fellowship, out of the 10th District, we have the Columbus Christian Center decision, that church-owned property that's used for recreational purposes is not exempt under 07 because it merely supports the public worship. Now, they've postured this appeal to avoid the narrow limitations that inhere in 5709.07 by seeking to exempt the recreational property under 5709.12, the charitable use exemption. A similar strategy was pursued, as this court is aware, as we explained in our brief, in the Church of God in Northern Ohio decision. And in that case, the church sought to exempt its administrative office under the charitable use statute because it was aware of the name of the decision is escaping me at the moment, but there was a decision on the books where they denied exemption for administrative office under the House of Public Worship exemption. And the court said no, the supporting public worship is not charitable. And moreover, the court said if we bought off on that argument that supporting public worship was charitable, it would render the exemption set forth in 0.07 meaningless. And
does the use of the property in this case differ, in your view, from the use of the property in Highland Park owners in a material sense?
Well, sure. In Highland Park, it was untethered to any sort of worship-related functions. And here, if we look through the testimony and the record, I think we can see that the overarching, the primary use, now we agree there is use by the public and it's secular in nature, but when you read through the entirety of the record, I think it becomes clear that the primary use and the intent for this recreational property is to support the chapel's mission, which in their articles is spreading the Christian faith. So if we look through the charitable use test, it's a primary use test. We look at the essentiality of the property, the utility of the property, the use of the property vis-a-vis taxable and non-taxable. So we have 14 sports ministry programs throughout the year, softball, soccer, flag football. They all include a devotional, about a 15-minute devotional. The sports ministry program director, Mr. Saylor, indicated that that was a limited form of worship. We have the co-ed ministry, the youth ministry, college ministry, couples ministry, bicycling ministry. And we can see that there are uses by the public, the corporate uses by Chick-fil-A, FedEx, the City of Green, there's a dogs program. And there was also testimony that about 3,000 people per year use this property. You know, that was a best guess. It's not susceptible of mathematical definition. About half are chapel, about half are not. And of those, about 50 people per year join the chapel due to their use of the property.
Suppose the evidence were clear that the public uses of the property were predominant and primary uses. Would that lead to the granting of the exemption or not?
I think it would be a stronger case. They would have a stronger form of their argument, but that's not what we have here. If we look through the testimony, Pastor Sartorelli, what was your intentions of buying this piece of land? It was recreational outreach. It was exposure. If we look to the testimony of Pastor Castelli, it was creation of a sports ministry program, enhancing fellowship. The director of sports ministry, it's missional outreach, sports ministry, a great way to bring people into understanding of what the chapel does. It's an avenue to do outreach and to be missional. The mayor testified it was zoned with a conditional use as a place of public worship. If you look to the articles, it's promoting the cause of the Christian faith, owning and holding suitable real estate.
Let me follow up on the question I asked you before, too, because it seemed to me that in the final determination, it was almost as though the commissioner was taking the position that the use by the public was not a charitable use. There's language in here. The applicant allows the public to use its walking and jogging trails as the applicant itself is not using the property, but rather merely holding the property open to the public and allowing third parties to use it. Its use is not charitable. So, but you're saying today that if the predominant use of the property were the public coming onto it, using it for recreational purposes that were not organized by the church, that would be charitable?
Well, I think what we need to do is look at what the essence of the property is, the utility of the property is, what the overall uses are in terms of both non-chapel members and chapel members. There's nothing in the record that states that they were intending to use this as a public park akin to something from Highland Park. This was 79 acres. We've already exempted the 57 under the House of the Public Worship Statute. This is a unified whole. This is not what we have in Highland Park. This is an outreach. It's to be missional. It's to let people know that the chapel's there and to help them spread their faith. And we're not saying that's a bad thing. We're just simply saying that's not charitable under Church of God and under this court's case law.
But the use of the property, isn't the use of the property virtually indistinguishable? I mean, if you were not looking at articles of incorporation and statements of intent and simply looked at what was happening to the property, put a webcam on there for, you know, 3 or 4 months and saw what was happening, wouldn't that be indistinguishable from a situation like Highland Park owners?
Well, in Moraine Heights and in the Faith Fellowship and the Columbus Christian Center cases, the use of the property, even though it was really not directly tethered to any worship-related function, this court itself has regarded that as simply supporting the public worship. Now, I believe in those cases, it was the actual church members themselves using the property. And here we have about half and half non-chapel versus chapel members. So we're kind of in an equilibrium. And I think these other factors, the testimony, the intent, the articles, the zoning, tilt the balance in favor of denying the exemption. Because if you just look at the uses, it's as they testified, it's about 50-50.
Let me ask you the question I asked counsel, that your interpretation of the BTA's reasoning. What was the reason the BTA had for denying the exemption?
Well, I believe, and I don't quote me on this, but they said all of the uses were ancillary to supporting the public worship. It's about 20-ish acres that are issue, and they are merely supporting the more direct public worship activities that occur on what's already been exempted in the 57 acres of the property. And I'd also like to touch on a point that you brought up with Mr. Leiby about the tax lien date issue. This was put forward in the BTA's decision in footnote 1. We concede we haven't argued this before. I think that was our oversight. But the BTA has put this an issue, and we believe it's properly before the court to address what's in the decision. And moreover, it is an issue of jurisdiction, which is not waivable and can be raised at any time. The tax lien date of a particular tax year at issue is January 1. That's under RC 323.11. And under the Episcopal School of Cincinnati and the Sylvania Church of God, we look to what the property was being used for as of the tax lien date. An exemption may not be granted prior to that date. Now here we have parcels A and B. They were acquired in 2000. We also have a parcel C that was acquired in 2001. And exemption for parcels A and B is being sought for 2002 and remission for 2000 and 2001. And then for parcel C, they're seeking exemption solely for 2002. Now for the recreational fields, they were used in 2006. So the first time they could have been used for an exempt purpose as of the tax lien date would be 2007.
And would the intent to develop them for that use qualify them for exemption, assuming that they otherwise qualified for exemption.
Well, sure. I think you're bringing earlier up the prospective use test. The first time we have heard about that was in their reply brief. Assuming there is jurisdiction to consider this issue, we don't believe they meet the prospective use test. We have one engineering drawing from 2000, and we have testimony from the hearing. Now, in the Episcopal School of Cincinnati case, they set forth the test of how to prevail under the prospective use test. You need to be actively working towards using the property in an exempt manner. You need to be taking substantial steps, and it needs to be accomplished within a reasonable time. Indicia of substantial steps would be a drawing, which they have, but also fundraising, meeting minutes. And I think the nub of why they don't meet the prospective use test is this reasonable time limit. The property was acquired in 2000 and 2001, and we have about a six-year lapse between the time that it was acquired and it was using for an alleged exempt purpose. We simply don't think that the 6 to 7 year lapse is using the property within a reasonable time. They acquired their building, their structure, around this same time, 2000, 2001, and their occupancy permit was in 2003. So that was used within a reasonable time.
Do the statutes permit the commissioner and the BTA to exercise jurisdiction to set, assuming that they were entitled to exemption based on the development of the use? Is there jurisdiction below to set that exemption date later than the one that was originally sought?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. I've contemplated that before. I think the years that you can claim is what's put forth on your exemption application. I don't think there's any.
But the exemption's been pending all the way until the present, I guess.
Right. Well, they've looked for parcels A and B. They went 2002 in remission of 2000, 2001. And that's forward-looking. Assuming you give them 2002 and remit 2000, 2001, it's forward-looking. But I don't know of any certain authority in statute or the case law where they can just simply move the exemption date forward.
Let me ask you about, it's also your position that the prospective use has not been preserved by the appellant?
Well, we just first heard about it in their reply brief.
Okay. What about the evidence with respect to determining exactly the boundaries of exempt versus taxable lands here? Is there a sufficiency of evidence on that or not?
Well, that was something that the BTA put at the end of their decision. That there was, I think they thought, a lack of clarity in the tax commissioner's final determination about delineating the taxable versus the non-taxable. We haven't argued that in our brief. I don't believe there's a substantial dispute from the other side about the BTA's decision to delineate the taxable versus the non-taxable.
Let's say if the court were to agree with, let's say, Mr. Leiby's theory, general theory, there'd be sufficient evidence to determine, you know, what the boundaries between exempt and taxable
I think so. It's a walking, if you look at, I believe it's Exhibit 8, it's an engineering drawing, you can pretty much follow where the walking trail and the recreational fields are. I don't think there's a substantial dispute about that. If there are no further questions, we would simply ask that the BTA decision be affirmed.
Thank you, Mr. O'Rourke.
Thank you.
Mr. Leiby, you've reserved 5 minutes and 17 seconds.
Thank you. Mr. O'Rourke has provided plenty of grist here. The first thing he says is that the first time he heard of the prospective use argument was in our reply brief. That's because the first time that the tax lien date was raised was in the appellee's merit brief. It was not raised before the Board of Tax Appeals. It was not raised in the commissioner's final determination. It was not raised in the commissioner's recommendation. In fact, the testimony before the Board of Tax Appeals demonstrated that the chapel had planned to use this property from the start, and that once the earth sufficiently settled from the construction, then they began the construction of the fields. The plans that were in exhibit, I believe it was Exhibit 8, submitted to the Board of Tax Appeals, were prepared before they purchased the property, because those plans had to be submitted to the City of Green for approval by the City of Green. Furthermore, and I'll refer to it in a moment, those plans were in motion the entire time. There was no interruption. And there is a more recent, and I can't recall the name, but because this was raised really effectively for the first time just now, there is a case where a preparatory school for girls in Cincinnati held property for a number of years and never used it for the intended purpose, and the court held that the fact that there was evidence that they actually intended to use the property for an exempt purpose, in fact exempted it during that time period that they intended to use it. The appellee complains that the chapel uses the property. That's really his complaint. Now, in his final determination, he claimed the chapel didn't use the property. So whether the chapel does or doesn't, the appellee says the chapel's not entitled to its exemption. The appellee referred to 3,000 people using the property in a year. A careful reading of the testimony will show that that 3,000 was the count of the number of people involved in the chapel's programs. No count was done of all the other uses. And I want to just tell you briefly what the other uses were. The jogging trail is used almost exclusively by members of the public year-round, all through the daylight hours. The Green YMCA uses the property.
Do people have to register to use that, or do they just come on the property?
They do not have to register to use it. Now, the organizations do have to contact the church, because if there's some other event, like the Green Parks and Recreation has uses the property two nights a week and has, I think it's some seven ball games on those two nights, each of those two nights a week. So there can be some conflicts, and to resolve those, the chapel has asked people to check with them first before they do organized activities. But if it's just a casual use, people don't check with the chapel. They just go use it. If it's not in use, they will use it.
Let me ask you a question about sort of procedural question. If the court were to agree with your argument on a theoretical level, does this case need to go back to the Board of Tax Appeals for further determination, such as, you know, when the exempt use began or what the precise boundaries of the exempt property are, or not?
If the court has any question about the tax lien date, I would recommend that it be sent back to the Board of Tax Appeals to determine exactly when the intended use was demonstrated. Mm-hmm. I believe it's already in the record, but if it's not absolutely clear, and if the Board of Tax Appeals didn't address it sufficiently, right, then it could be sent back for that purpose and for the purpose of delineating the acreage. There was some confusion about the acreage, because our argument was that there was 20 point, I think it was 6.5, I may be off a little, it's 20 point something, acres that are being used. And the Board of Tax Appeals said it was 18 something, and I found that part confusing. The appellee stated that the purpose of the use of the property is for proselytizing. And the only person to directly testify as to the use of the property was the administrative pastor of the chapel, and he said that the use of the property was intended for and is used for recreational purposes within our community as a means of contribution to the well-being of our community, something to enhance the programming in our community for the city's use. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Leiby. This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.